In my real life, I work as a translator. And in many ways, this is a different skill from when I first learned to translate in school and later at university. We don't tend to use physical dictionaries anymore. Instead, we rely on online dictionaries, Wikipedia, and search engines to try and get it right. As a result, when I'm working, I tend to have an internet browser on at all times so that I can look things up. The disadvantage of this is that the internet is so full of interesting and distracting things, especially Facebook. The other day, I spent a few enjoyable minutes watching and rewatching and rewatching a video of baby pandas playing on a slide. I should have been working, so don't tell my boss. I just thought pandas, especially baby pandas, made a pleasant change to the usual cat videos that you find on the internet. One of the people I follow on Facebook calls himself the Good God Above, or God for short. I've been following him long enough to know a little bit about him and his background, and I know he's a socialist, he's an atheist, he's American, and his dad was a pastor. Now, you might be asking yourselves why I would be following the posts of someone like that. If I'm honest, I find that by highlighting the hypocrisy of some religious people, he reminds me of what is really important. And he also presents an atheist's view of religion and religious people. A couple of weeks ago, just when I was starting to think about this sermon, Facebook God posted this definition of Christianity on his page. Brace yourselves. Christianity, the belief that a cosmic Jewish zombie, who was his own father, can make you live forever if you symbolically eat his flesh and telepathically tell him you accept him as your master, so he can remove an evil force from your soul that is present in humanity because a rib woman was convinced by a talking snake to eat from a magical tree. Makes perfect sense. It would be easy to take offense at that definition of something that is so important to who I am. In fact, it set me thinking about whether that is how people actually see the church. And if it is, what can we do to remedy that? It's undeniable that our society is becoming less Christian. There are large communities from other faiths and increasing numbers of people who do not adhere to any faith at all. I have no problem with a multicultural society. But somewhere along the way, this has turned into a secular society. To avoid favoring any particular faith, all faiths are suspect and rejected. Some schools do not even allow ministers to come in and provide religious input. A generation is growing up that is learning about neither Christianity nor any other faith, And so they are unable to understand what people believe and why. It's an unfortunate fact of life that it is those who shout loudest who tend to be the ones who get their way. And at the moment, it is the secularists and the humanists who are shouting the loudest. They are the ones who are telling us that the church is out of touch with modern society, that religion has no place in our rational world. They are the ones who, like Facebook God, take what we believe and twist it so that it sounds ridiculous. Because I studied languages, I came abroad during my degree. Between my second and third years, I spent a year in Germany. Since I had friends in the former East Germany, I applied to go there. I grew up in a small town in the middle of nowhere in what used to be East Germany. This was only 5 years after reunification, and there were a lot of ways in which Eastern Germany was still different from the West. I remember very clearly how incredulous one of my colleagues was when she discovered I was a Christian. Having been brought up in an atheist state, she could not understand how an educated, intelligent person such as myself could believe in and live by what she had been told were no more true than fairy tales. Not all atheists think like that. And not all atheists make fun of people of faith. And not all people of faith interpret the word of God, of the Bible, literally. Sadly, it is these people at the extremes who are shouting the loudest. I cringe every time I hear about the antics of Westboro Baptist Church. If you haven't come across them, they are a group in America who like to picket funerals and blame homosexuals for natural disasters. And yet, where does our society turn when there is a tragedy in the community? To the church. People still feel the need for memorial services, for acts of worship to mark occasions. We are part of the Church of Scotland, our national church. A church that feels called to serve everyone in Scotland, whether they want us there or not. Despite being brought up in the church, I was only vaguely aware of the work of Crossreach until my dad was appointed to the Social Care Council. Recently, however, both the moderator at the time and the Scottish Parliament praised Crossreach as one of the country's best kept secrets. Best kept secrets. Why is it a secret? Why does so much of the work that Christians and the church do go unnoticed? Why is it only the bad things that people get to hear about? If we are to find our place in a society that's moving away from religion, we have to get the one unequivocal message of the gospel across loud and clear. God is love, and the only commandments that truly matter are to love God and love others as we love ourselves. Everything else is secondary. Some people believe the world was created exactly the way it says in the first chapters of Genesis. And some people don't. So long as they respect each other's beliefs and still love each other, what does it really matter in the end? In our reading from Galatians, after the opening formalities, Paul gets stuck right into the church there for abandoning the gospel he had taught them. Apparently, they had begun following another gospel. It is possible to interpret Scripture in different ways and how we should apply that to our lives. You just have to look at all the different church denominations that are out there. But when it comes down to it, there is only one gospel, the gospel of love I mentioned before. Love is our trademark, or at least it should be. When people look at the church, they should see a community of people who look after each other and spread the love they have out into the world. Paul also says that the gospel is not about pleasing the world. It's about pleasing God. People don't like to hear that they should share what they have with people who have less. But that is the way that Christ teaches. People don't like to hear that they have to forgive people who have done terrible things. But that is the way that Christ teaches. Elijah is the only prophet of God left in Israel, and he stage manages a public demonstration of power, of the power of God, to make his point. He also mocks the prophets of Baal as they become more and more desperate for their God to light the fire. In today's multicultural society, that particular part of the story might not go down so well. But Elijah is making a public demonstration. Sometimes we can be so caught up in our church community that we become blind to everything outside of it. To quote Burns, we need to see ourselves as others see us. If we could see ourselves as atheists and outsiders see us, would we see a community shaped and marked by love? If we could see ourselves through Christ's eyes, would he be happy with what he saw? We need to be the public demonstration of the love of God, visible in society, but respectful of difference. Maybe then our secular world will take us more seriously. And more people will realize the love that God has for them. Amen.